Genesis. Give you where I could not get the text off of my heart this morning, so we're going to look at the text here this morning. Genesis, first book in the Bible. Now, I hope you don't have to be anywhere by noon, because I don't know that I'm going to be finished by noon. So we're going to do our best, though. We'll get finished as quickly as we can. And we will do our best to finish up as quickly as we can. And go to chapter 2. I'm sorry, I hadn't announced it yet. That's fine. Chapter number 2, and we're going to read there this morning. Then I'm going to read a verse out of the next chapter. Bible says in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, let me go ahead and say this. I've said it at weddings. I'll probably say it at a wedding before. When God made a help who was meat for Adam, that word meat means appropriate, notice where he took the bone from. God did not take the bone from Adam's head so that the woman would rule over her husband. Ma'am, that is not your place to rule over your husband. It's not your place. I've seen women run their husbands, run them into the ground, not just talking about them, but they rule the roost. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, when we use the phrase, who wears the pants in the family, it's not you, sister, it's your husband. All right? Now, the men amened it. That's good. Amen. That's good preaching right there. Now, tell you where else God did not take the bone from. He didn't take the bone from Adam's foot. Sir, she's not your footstool. You're not to walk over top of her. That's not the way it works. Where did God take the bone from? Took it from a rib, from his side. Listen, next his heart. Next his heart. And I want you to look at the next verse, 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she's taken out of man. Therefore, shall man leave his father and his mother." Did you hear that? Leave his father and his mother, cleave his wife. They shall be one flesh. When you get married, you form your own home. You can go to your parents for advice. You can go to them for counsel. But you've got your own home. You have to make your own decisions. I'm stepping back, and it's interesting to watch my oldest, since he's here, and his beautiful bride, make decisions. And there's a handful of things he said, "Dad, here's the way we want to do this particular thing." And you know what? I've got to do the things the way that he wants them, because that's his home. Not my call. Not my call, none of my business. Hey. And we've got to be really careful, because a lot of times dads and moms want to interfere with their children, their husbands and wives. They want to interfere in their marriage. They want to interfere in the management of their children. Mom and dad, mamma and papa, listen to me. It is not your place to interfere in the home of that child and who's a wife to a husband, husband to a wife. It's not your place to do that, nor is it your place interfering in the raising of the children, the management of the children. Now we coach them along. We help them a little bit. Amen. We do help. Amen. The Bible does say to honor your father and mother while they may not obey because they're no longer living at home. Amen. The relationship changes, but it's a relationship of honor. So I may disagree with my mother on something, but I will take her advice. and that counsel from many years of wisdom and see if the Lord won't use that to be a help to me. Amen. I see a lot of inquisitive looks here and there, but it's okay. Amen. By the way, the preacher's not your enemy. He's your friend. So just bear that in mind as we look here this morning, because I'm wanting to help us all out. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. You say, well, preacher, it doesn't say anything about the woman leaving her father and mother. Wait a minute, let's look at this and read a little bit more. Shall cleave to his wife, and who shall be one flesh? The husband and the wife. Not the husband and his wife and her parents. Because I've heard people use that excuse. And of course, verse 25 talks about their nakedness because they were created in that sense. They were innocent. Now, I want you to look over in verse number 20 of the next chapter, and I'm going to finish up here. So this is after Eve has sinned, after God has come through and pronounced the curses on the serpent, upon the woman, and upon Adam. And after Adam is told that he's going to have to work, eat his bread by the sweat of his brow, till the ground. Verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Because, watch this, she was the mother of all living. Before we have the mention of any other relationship, brother, sister, father, before, what's the very first relationship here mentioned in the family relationship? You see the word mother. You see the word mother. Now, I understand that it meant that we do see the word husband in verse number 16 speaking there. But as far as, and we're going to get to that here in a minute, but that first named relationship of that family, the first thing that God uses here we see is the phrase mother. So I want to just look here just for a minute. Let's pray and just consider a few things about Eve, and then we're going to move. We'll let you go here whenever I'm finished. All right. So, Lord, we thank you for the day. Lord, you blessed us to be here. You blessed us with good testimonies. Lord, we sure are grateful for what you've done in the lives of every one of the folks who's here, where they have testified of being united with their mothers. And I know that not everybody could testify that. I know there are some, perhaps, whose relationship is strained with their mother. Some who would love to rekindle that relationship, but they cannot because of death. But Lord, we are grateful, Lord, and you in your sovereign wisdom placed us in the homes where you wanted us to be born. We don't understand it, but that's where you placed us. And Lord, the places you put us in, Lord, have helped to mold and shape us into who we are. And Lord, it could be that even some of us have been molded and shaped in not so much a good way, and you want us to be conformed to the Bible based on what your word says. And Lord, you place us in the church. You've helped us to be able to be here as one that's already testified, Lord, of other godly women helping with children. And Lord, you've given us Titus chapter 2, how the older women are to teach the younger women. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us this morning. I pray that you'd help us in these moments as we just simply consider the Word of God for a few minutes today. And Lord, for all you do, for all your goodness, we'll thank you. Lord, we'll praise you and we'll bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to just look here for a minute. I've got 1, 2, 3. I've got 6 things I want to look at. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I don't even plan on getting in a big way. I don't plan on walking on the bench tops. I really don't. I mean, I'm just going to just stop a minute. If you can't hear me online, let them know. Put it online. Let the fellas know. They'll wave at me and say, speak up. They'll crank it up. And if I need to get in Southern preacher mode, we can get in Southern preacher mode. All right. Amen. We can do that. But let's see here for a minute. When I think about Eve, the first mother, Adam called his wife's name Eve. Now watch this. He didn't call her sweetheart. He didn't call her darling. He didn't call her dear. He called her name Eve. That comes from the Hebrew word which means life or living, because she became, watch this, the mother of all living. So when I consider Eve, I'm looking at Eve's life, And as I had that text on my heart, Eve became the mother of all living. Eve is a prototype, if you will, of mothers in the Bible, because she has dealt with every single situation. I say every single situation. Most situations that most mothers would find themselves in. Not every situation, but many of them. And again, what I'm going to say here, the preacher's your friend. I'm not picking at anybody. I don't want people to get upset and get angry. But all I'm going to do is just preach to you out of the Bible what it says, okay? And when I say out of the Bible, I mean from inside the Bible, outside of the Bible, not taking it from another source. So, verse number 16, the Bible does say that unto the woman, he said, God says, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And watch this, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So he mentions her being a mother before he ever mentions even that husband relationship. And thy desire shall be, watch this, to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And Adam called the name of his wife Eve because she is the mother of all living. Let me simply say this. Eve is the first mother, but before she was a mother, let me say this. Eve being a woman, she's a wife. Now, I know that that's silly, but in 2021, we've got to spell out even the most mundane, fundamental aspects of life. Because people in the news media refuse to bow themselves to biblical authority and refuse to go by the simple and plain teaching of the Word of God. There are not six sexes, there are two. There are male and female, plain and simple. And when people start saying, well, don't you understand about Klinefelter and Turner's, I understand all that. I taught biology, my minor's in biology, I get all that, I understand it. But the anomaly goes to prove the general rule, two X chromosomes is a female, an XY chromosome is a male, and that's the way God made them. The Bible says male and female created He them. So we go back to the Bible to find out how society is. Well, let me simply say this. Before Eve became a mother, number one, she had a husband. Every one of these begin with an H if you're writing these down. Number one, she had a husband. She was married before she became a mother. Now, I understand we live in 2021. Of course, it's been this way for ages. Not everybody does it the right way, okay? I'll say this. We have folks in our church who didn't do it the right way. Am I second-handing? I'm not doing any of that. Some of the people who have messed up so badly in their lives by their own testimony want to do the best they can to raise their children in a godly environment so their children are not faced with making those same bad decisions. They want to help them make the better decision. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. So I'm not here, quote, judging anybody. I'm not here, quote, trying to talk down. I'm simply saying this, that in the biblical pattern, before Eve became a mother, she was a wife. She had a husband. She's a woman first. And the Bible says that a man's going to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. You know why he does that? Because he finds the woman that God wants him to spend the rest of his life with. Amen. That's right. Amen. Why is that? Well, number one, he sees her. I mean, man, she's good looking, is she not? Whose wife is the best looking wife in the entire world? You ought to say your wife. If you don't, she needs to take a rolling pin and hit you in Jesus' name. Amen. Your wife ought to be the best looking woman in the world. She ought to be the sweetest woman. She ought to be the woman that you can find. All those things. But before Eve became a mother, she had a husband. And I know that sounds silly, but that's God's order. That is God's order. God's order is marriage before children. That's always been His order. And so that's what we want to instill in our young folks here. You may look around and say, well, my mom didn't do it right, my parents didn't do it right, my cousin or whoever. That doesn't matter. God holds you responsible for doing things right because you know what's right to do. Amen. And so again, we'll say, well, preacher, shouldn't I just go out and sin because I can get more grace? No, Paul told us, Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. We shouldn't do that. That's not the way God works. So number one, before Eve became a mother, she had a husband. She's a wife. She's a woman first. Number two, back in chapter number two, the Bible says in verse number 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now there are some men, Jesus tells us, who are eunuchs. They live without any desire for a woman whatsoever. They're not sodomites. They don't have an inordinate desire for a man. But they don't have a desire. They can live by themselves. They can be bachelors. It doesn't bother them. But the general rule for mankind, God says, it is not good that the man should be alone. Having lived alone for almost a year, I can tell you, it ain't good that a man be alone. Can I get a witness on that? Amen, it's not good. It's not good. And I shouldn't say this about my housekeeping ability, but one day I brought Hannah back up with me, and she was talking on the phone to her mother, and all I heard was this, yeah, you can tell a guy's been living here by himself. Love you, Hannah. Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. Somehow that there's a, you know, you guys who keep everything in its place and you're not messy, y'all are just sick in your head. That's all I can say. I don't get that. You ever seen a picture of Albert Einstein's desk? You'll agree with me, amen, because it looks a lot alike, amen. But there's something about a woman who helps a man not to be alone, to someone to have companionship. And notice it says in verse 18, I will make him an help meet for him. That word meet means appropriate. Someone alongside to help, if you will. She was a help who was meet for her husband. She was a help for her husband. So number one, before he became a mother, she had a husband. Number two, she was her husband's helper. Now what do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? God gave Adam a job to do. God put Adam in the garden to dress it and to keep it. That was Adam's job, his ministry in life. And do you know what God did? Because Adam was there by himself doing that work, he gave him someone to work alongside him to help him in that work. And this lady here, Miss Eve, if you'll let me say it that way, was her husband's helper. And I know of ladies, not just outside our family, but inside the church, your husband's in business and you help keep the books for your husband. You help take care of the finances. You help run those things. You make sure that the things that come in, maybe God has given your husband the ability to go out and physically do the work, given him some business acumen, but he's given you that knack for detail that many times we don't have. He's given you that knack for discernment in certain areas that we don't have. And your husband needs you to help out in that because, watch this, while you're helping your husband, if I can use it this way, y'all are pulling the yoke together. You're a team. You're not on opposite teams going against each other. You are pulling in the same direction. Amen. Amen. And I'll say before I came to Indiana, I mean honestly, coming to Indiana was my decision. I was the one who was given the responsibility to make that decision, without a doubt. But you would be a fool to think that I did not consult my wife before I came to Indiana. I did not want to pull the yoke one way and the yoke be pulled a different direction because the rows you plow, they're not straight. So I wanted to make sure. And so I want to say, ma'am, you're your husband's helper. That was what Eve's original job was. Now I'm going to say this. Unfortunately, there's some women, their husbands ain't worth a hoot and they've not had a husband worth helping. I've known some of those too. I've looked at some husbands, they are so lazy they wouldn't shout suey if the hogs were coming at them. I'm telling you. Wouldn't strike a lick at a snake. They wouldn't be tasters in a pie factory, crying out loud. Husbands so trifling lazy they wouldn't do it. I'm thinking, sir, you probably ought to... Eh, good night, I'm getting in not preacher mode. I'm sorry. Hold on a minute. Let me back up before I say maybe you need to go find your clothing in the women's section, sir. Amen. Put the apron on and put little lacy stuff in your hair because, no, I'm not having my wife go off and I'm staying home all day long taking care of the kid. Oh, shut up. That's not your job, brother. That's where God's gifted her. Amen. Now, you already heard Brother John say it. He's given them more patience. We ought to come alongside and help them. Our wives help us in our areas of life. There ought to be some time we come along and help them out with some of those things. In fact, watch this. Today, at lunch, I'm going to say this. Today, a lot of us go in here and we eat lunch. Several of us stay here and we eat. Today, the ladies aren't doing the dishes. My wife, your wife, not doing the dishes. Don't even bother. Now, if you say, well, I'm not going to do the dishes, then don't eat. Go to McDonald's and get you something to eat. Listen to me. You ain't going to do the dishes, don't eat in here with me. I'll call you out on it. Amen. Now, you girls, y'all going to help out the dishes too. Whoever stays here and helps out. But Miss Audrey and Miss whoever, y'all ain't doing the dishes. Plain and simple. Amen. Say, I don't like it, preacher. That's all right. Me and me and 10 of my friends say we have the upper hand. That's right. Amen. That's right. And if you can run at 1,000 feet per second, you are good. All right. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. Amen. I can already tell I've already got folks who don't like anything that I'm saying right now. That's all right. All right. Amen. But we ought to help. We ought to help our wives out. Amen. We ought to help our wives because they help us. Let me just simply say this. I'm not going to read every text. But in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says, "Now the serpent," verse 1, "was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said," watch this, "unto," what are the next two words? "The woman." I don't have to give you the story of what happened. How that Eve was deceived in the transgression. Yeah, it was Adam who partook of the fruit and plunged the entire human race into sin according to the book of Romans chapter number 5. But Eve as a mother, number one, she was a woman, so she had a husband. Number two, she was a helper. I'm going to say this. Listen, friend, Eve was human. She sinned. She was deceived. She partook of the fruit, and her husband, if you will, followed her. She was deceived. Men are supposed to have discernment. But I've met some husbands who didn't have... I've met men whose wives are much more spiritual than their husbands ever will be. Amen. I've met them. I've seen them before. Husband won't do a thing. He won't, I mean, and yeah, he might go off to work, and yes, he may provide for the family, but when it comes to spiritual things, he does not take the lead. He has no desire to be a leader in that. What does he do? He just kind of defers all that to his wife. I've seen women who have much more to say, but I'm going to simply say this, that mothers aren't perfect. Mothers are going to sin. So you younger folks who are here, everybody who's here and you're mom or dad happened to be here, or your mom is still alive. You've already heard a couple of young folks, and I say young folks because they're younger than me, give a testimony about having a strained relationship with their mother. I'm going to tell you, your mothers aren't perfect. They're not perfect. So the next time you look in the mirror, just remember that your imperfect mother in no way possible could have given birth to a perfect child. Al is right. Amen. Amen. Remember that. Sometimes we don't understand why our moms do what they do. Sometimes we don't understand, and sometimes moms might get upset. Sometimes mom might actually give you a few extra licks of that sassafras tea than what you really needed. Do mothers always make the right decision? Of course they don't. Your mother's human. Give her the same amount of grace that you would want her to give you. Show her that mercy that you want to have shown to you. Remember, your mom is not perfect. Someone says, "Well, my mother's not a saint." Let me tell you something, friend. We need to get out of this Roman Catholic theology. If you're saved by the grace of God according to the Bible, you are a saint. Not some person who's gone through the canonization process through Rome to see that you've done a miracle, to see that you've lived a virtuous life and all of those things. No, a saint is someone who has been saved by the grace of God. Amen. So yes, if your mother's saved, she is a saint. Amen. Her halo might be on crooked, if you will, but she is a saint. Eve here sinned. Her sin had consequences. Your mother's sins have consequences. But I want to remind us that God so loved the world, that included your mother. And the grace of God, Miss Eve, already testified about how her mom loved and did before Miss Bland became a believer. But I want to say to you, now that Miss Bland is a believer, God has given her the ability to be a not just a good mother, but a godly mother to her family. And a godly role model to her grandchildren and her to her great grandchildren. So I'm going to say she's human. She's not perfect. The Bible here says that Eve became the mother of all the living. Look in chapter 4 and verse number 1 and 2. Adam knew Eve his wife. She conceived and bare Cain. Eve's words here said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." She again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Said, "What in the world do you have to do anything?" Let me throw this out at you. You ready? I'm going to blow your mind with what I'm going to say here. Number one, Eve had a husband. Number two, she's a helper. Remember, she's human. Eve was a homeschool mom. Eve was a homeschool mom. Number one, there was no public school in that day. And listen to me. You do not have to have a degree. You do not have to have specialized training to be a teacher. God gave you your children. He did not give your children to the state. Your children belong to you. Therefore, it is your responsibility. Caleb and Anna, when the Lord blesses y'all, amen, I'll set that away. When the time comes, that child is not the child of the state of Indiana or Kentucky or Tennessee. He belongs to Caleb and Anna Nichols. Amen. Amen. Brother Austin, Miss Brooke, the Lord decides to bless you all one of these days, and in the Lord's time, that child will not belong to the state of Indiana. He will be a, that child will be a craft. Amen. He's going to be. Amen. Amen. That's right. We got a couple of Gannons running around. Well, actually, they're both sleeping right now. Not the adults, the children. The adult Gannons are not sleeping. Amen. They don't sleep in church. Amen. Amen. That's right. But I'm going to tell you, those are not the children of the state. They're the children of Brother John and Miss Maria Gannon. And we need to make sure that we provide the education. What did she? There was no math to teach them. There was no science necessarily to teach them. What did Mom do? What did Mom do? Let me ask you a question. Moms, what do you do? I don't know exactly how they would have, how Adam and Eve, Adam named all the animals. Maybe Eve went through and tried to tell the boys about what all the animals were because Abel understood what a sheep was. Amen. And even though we know the story didn't turn out so well, Cain understood a little bit about agriculture. He understood that. Where did he learn that? Well, he would have learned it from his parents and his mom's helping dad out. There's nothing wrong with the idea of you teaching your children. Now, I know some moms say, if I spent all day with my kids, I'd pull my ever-loving hair out. Well, that maybe that's where that sassafras tea comes in. Amen. But understand this, that God has given you your children. They're not the state's responsibility. They're yours. Homeschooling is the best way to go. And if you decide that you cannot homeschool, then by the grace of God, maybe we need to look at doing something Christian school-wise where our children can come together, children can play, have godly influences, godly lives, and say, who's going to be the teacher? Well, you moms would be the teachers, amen. You can teach them just fine. You can teach them well. All you have to do is stay a week ahead. That's all you have to do. Stay a week ahead. Amen. My degree's in chemistry. You need help in the science? Holler at me. I'll help you any way that I can. Amen. We've got other folks in here who have other skills that are outside of chemistry, life skills that would be a great help to these children. I will say this, that Eve was a homeschool mom. That's part of her ministry, was working with those boys. Let me say this, number five. The Bible here says in verse number 8 of chapter 4, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Say, what in the world does that have to do with Eve? I will say this, Eve, as a mother, understood heartbreak. Children bring heartbreak to their mother, oftentimes unnecessarily. Cain made a bad choice. He made a prideful choice. He made a permanent choice. And that choice scarred him for the rest of his life. In fact, the Bible talks about Eve going out and dwelling in the land of Nod. Sounds to me like he was nowhere near his mama. Sounds to me like that's the way that it's happened. I got to be very careful about giving personal illustrations because I don't want to say a whole lot to name names and identify folks, but there are members in my family I have not seen in years because of bad decisions, bad choices, and because should they come back home, the local law enforcement people might attempt to take them into custody. That's just sad. Mothers know what heartbreak is. Mothers know that. Every mother in this room has dealt with some degree of that. We've got mothers in the building here who have buried children. We've got mothers in here whose children have gone out and thankfully have come back. And by the way, I'm going to say this. I don't want to burst your bubble. We hear this all the time. You know, Train up a child in the way that you go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. People say, I just depend on that promise. Number one, that's not a promise. That is a proverb. Here's the way most Baptists read that. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they're going to run away from God, and then they're going to come back. That is not what that says. That is a proverb, not a promise. Brother John, I just depend on that promise. Well, won't you find a promise that is a promise, not a proverb? It's a wise saying. Some of the godliest, saintliest women have had children who have raised hell all their life and got into a pickle and died and probably went out unprepared to meet God and went to hell over the prayers of a praying mama. Not all of them work out. Cain's didn't work out, friend. Amen. Don't always end well. Amen. And I said, well, preacher, I don't agree with that. Let's sit down with a pot of coffee, open Bible, let's talk about it. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but if we're going to get a promise, let's get a promise. Here's a promise, young people. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thy days be long upon the earth. You treat your father and mother the way that you should, young folks. God says just by natural laws that He put into place, God will grant you a long life. Amen. Amen. Moms know what heartbreak is. Moms know what heartbreak is. To carry a baby in your womb for 40 weeks and to have that child grow up and turn around and talk ugly, to disrespect, to disregard, you ought to feel about that big. And I'm saying the same thing to you that I'm saying to myself, because as that teenager, I should have had more of my teeth knocked down my throat. Can I get a witness? Amen, friend. Honor your father and your mother. Amen. I promise I'm finishing up. I know it's not working. Not working. So anyway, I'm doing the best I can. Amen. Young folks, don't give your mom a heartbreak. Don't make decisions that's going to cause your mother. Your best friend, as I've heard many folks testify here, where would you be? That unconditional love that you have talked about and bragged about. You've seen other people talk about that this morning. You've seen other people testify. Yes, mom's got unconditional love for you. Yes, she does. How about staying in the shadow of that unconditional love all the time and not getting out of it? Even knew what it's like to have a heartbreak. So much I would love to tell you there, but I don't think the Lord's going to give me liberty. I was asking the Lord if He'd give me liberty to do it, and I just don't think He's going to. But just to see how children can distance themselves from their parents to so much. I just don't understand. I don't understand. Young folks, if your mama's still here, hug her neck if you can. If you can't, pick up the phone and call her. I'm going to pick up the phone before church tonight, and by the grace of the good Lord, I'm going to call my mom. And by the way of life, the way things are going, this probably will be her last Mother's Day. Pick up the phone and call her. Tell them you love her. No reason you can't do that. Because I'm looking at a room full of people. Several of you have already testified, and I just know it. If your mama was alive, you would have already called her. Amen. That's only 59, brother. That is a long time. That's a long time. Another 10 years is a long time. Don't contribute to that heartbreak. Love on your mama. Let me simply say this, and I'm going to finish up. Chapter 5, verse number 3. And Adam lived in 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Say, that didn't have anything to do with thee. Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does, because we find out that Cain went off to the land of Nod. Abel died. And Eve suffered that heartbreak. But I want to leave us on a positive note that Eve was a mother who had hope. Because that next baby she had brought further life to the world. And this morning, I just want to remind us that, Mom, the greatest thing you can do, I understand that some women have had to go to work because of finances, and I get that. Thank God for a mom who will do what she has to do to help out. Thank God for that. But I want to remind us of that proverbial phrase that we've heard all our lives, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The most important thing you can do, you know why society is like it is right now? You know why you have liars on the mainstream news media? Liars, L-I-A-R-S, liars on the mainstream news media. Amen. Hello, Facebook. Liars. All y'all liars. Amen. Amen. Fact check facts, you bunch of them. Yeah. Amen. Bunch of liars. You know why you have liars like that? Because too many parents took their hands off and allowed somebody else like the world to mold and shape their children. I'm telling you what, if I acted like some of the people did like that, if I was brave enough to go back home, my mom used to use this phrase, Katie bar the door. You might know what I'm talking about? That was not a joke at our house. That was like, yeah. I had a brother one time. This is no joke. And this was corroborated when I took her dad out to eat sometime last spring. We all went down. Is it Bojangles? Is it Bojangles? And I can't remember the boy's name. I've got it written in my book right now. Because he told me the exact same story, except he was the guy who was driving the car. One of my brothers came home drunk. He came home drunk. And he walked up to the door, and Mom met him at the door because they got back a little later than they were supposed to be. Because one of the things he said, your mom said to have him to be home by 11 o'clock, and he wasn't home by 11 o'clock. It was later, and so I pulled in. And my brother opened the door and just kind of said, hi, Mom. That wide, short German woman doubled up her fist and punched him right in the mouth and knocked him on the flat of his back. And the boy who was sitting at Bojangles said, she scared the living daylights out of me. He said, all I could do was think about getting out of there. He said, I hit the floor and my back end spun and I was getting down the driveway as quick as I could, spitting gravel everywhere because Mom said, yeah, the boy brought him home, spit gravel everywhere, trying to get out of there because he thought he was next, and he was. Amen. So if you think that I would have gone somewhere and vandalized and acted a fool and come back home, no way. I would not have been that brave. No. But the same mom that popped him was the same mom who still loved him because that was her boy. Amen. And before he died here 4 years ago, the last person, I'm almost positive he waited to see before he died, was my mom. Mom walked in the room. She said, son, I'm here. And within just a few, within like seconds, 30 seconds or so, they were getting Mom out of the room because he had coded and he had gone out. I look at Eve, I kind of see her as a prototype because you see her, she did things the right way. She had a husband, she helped him out. She was human, she sinned. Yeah, she trained her children at home. Thank God for that. She suffered heartbreak, but thank God for the hope. You have no idea the little ones you're raising right now. Little ones you're raising. Who knows? Eli could be a preacher. He could be a missionary. Amen. Little Lynn. And does Molly, thank you. I'm going bad. Yeah. They could be preachers' wives. They could be missionaries' wives. Now they won't be preachers. Amen, preacher. Good preaching right there. Amen. They won't be preachers. Amen. That's all right. Amen. That's another sermon for another day, brother. Amen. I understand. The greatest thing in the world, I've got three daughters, to have them serve the Lord in some way would be the greatest joy to their mother they could ever be. And she's already told one of her children, all I want you is to serve the Lord and be on fire for Him. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's what we want. The greatest joy, Miss Brooke, Brother Austin, and your to your folks, I think I can say this, would be y'all stay in the house of God and raise your children up when the Lord blesses y'all in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And here's what you're doing. What you're doing is you're taking just little sticks and you're shaping them out into arrows that one day are going to be put into a bow and taken off. That's what they are. And I've not put together a message on that. I may one of these days, because you think about the Indians finding sticks. Sticks don't grow straight. You have to straighten them out. You know how you straighten them out? With a lot of heat and pressure and molding and shaping and hands-on. I have no greater joy than seeing my children walk in the truth. Amen. So, you young folks, love your mama. Before Jesus down the cross, He made sure mama was taken care of. He looked at John and said, behold your mother. He made sure mama was taken care of. We ought to make sure mama's taken care of. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm finished. I'm done. That lasted a whole lot longer than I thought. We'll do our best to stop. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're just going to stand on our feet. I won't give any invitation or anything like that.